Hello there, and welcome to the Workplace Communication Podcast, a podcast dedicated to leaders who want to elevate team performance by refining leadership communication skills. And now, let's dive right in with your host, Lindsay LaPaquette.
So welcome back yet again to another episode of the Workplace Communication Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Susanna Baum, who's a presentation and public speaking specialist and executive speech coach, as well as a professional speaker. And Susanna is going to be talking to us about delivering a more compelling presentation. Susanna, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me, Lindsay.
So Susanna works with business professionals who want to position themselves as leaders by delivering more engaging, compelling presentations. Through her training programs, workshops, executive speech coaching, online learning, and keynotes, Susanna teaches both new and experienced speakers a unique process to create and deliver powerful presentations, allowing them to stand up in front of audiences with confidence and clarity, build their visibility and reputation, and get the results they want. So I'm going to leave the rest of the bio of Susanna's bio in the show notes. But Susanna, one thing I wanted to touch on before we get going is that your bio says that you always travel with chocolate. And I did not know this about you.
Oh, it's very, very important part of any traveling and any luggage. I always have to have snacks, and the snacks usually include chocolate.
So I'm going to have to follow that that habit of yours, I think, once we start traveling back up again. So Susanna, I think the first thing I'd like to talk about is, why is it so important for people to know how to develop and deliver a compelling presentation? How can that help people, particularly in their roles in the workplace?
Well, Lindsay, what I found over years of working with individuals is what I found that there's three particular types of people out there in business, working as entrepreneurs, as business professionals, as managers. Is that category one are those people who feel like they hate public speaking, they never want to do it, they're no good at it, they're afraid, and they refuse any opportunity to do it. Person number two is the type of person who does it for work. They're fairly neutral about it. It's part of their job, but they're not always getting the results that they want out of the presentations. They're not getting the sale. They're not getting the next meeting. They're not getting the audience to do what they want them to do. And person number three is that person who's more of a seasoned speaker, who gives a lot of presentations and who sees the value of impacting the audience and engaging the audience, but they're feeling like there's like a missing piece to get them to the next level. So basically the value of your presentation is not simply that it allows you the opportunity to stand up and speak and share your expertise and your knowledge and the whatever you're trying to educate your audience of, but at the same time, it's enabling an audience, it's creating an impact and making a difference in an audience's life. It's possibly changing how they work, how they live, and your experience can contribute to that. So when we're not giving presentations, when we're holding back, we're not sharing the best of yourself. And so for me, the point is, how do you share the best of yourself with an audience who really needs to hear what you have, needs your expertise, needs to hear your opinions, and so on. So when we're holding back from that, not only are we depriving the audience of the best of us, but we're depriving ourselves of really being able to share our experience and get that visibility and be seen as more of a leader.
That's interesting what you're saying. So that ability to get up and deliver that compelling presentation, you're seeing that as linked to people's perception of individuals as being sort of that leadership type that people strive for?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that when you can put together a really good, structured, focused presentation that is relevant and meaningful for the audience and shares that value, then absolutely it reflects on you. It reflects on your reputation, your visibility, and how other people see you and the trust. And there is a trust factor too, because when you are speaking to, I could say an audience, but sometimes you're only speaking to one person across from you. You're not always speaking to groups. When you're making a presentation, sometimes you're speaking to one, you know, your client, your boss, your someone in your team. The how you present and how you communicate your message could lead to a trust factor as well. So if you can get your point across in this structured and focused and engaging way, in a way that's meaningful to them, then they will trust that every time you speak, that this is what they can expect from you. So that's the polar opposite is when, you know, those presentations that maybe you have sat through, because I think as you're a professional speaker too, you've sat through your share of presentations of someone who goes on and on, rambles on and on. You may think to yourself, where is this going? What are they talking about? Don't tell me another story that goes off in like a nonsensical direction. And I can't believe I've given up my time to sit here in this and listen to this person and I'm getting nothing out of it. It's so frustrating when you're on the audience side. So that as a speaker, you have to be even more careful to not be that kind of speaker. You have to really just deliver the value.
Yeah. So as you know, what I've done is really more longer trainings. And I got a feedback form once after this training. And I'm, you know, very spontaneous and throw in stories and got all these great feedback forms. And then I hit the one feedback form, this is years back, that said, too much blah, blah, blah. And it kind of hit me because I thought, yeah, that is me, right? That is my nature. And it was that realization for me that you still need some structure around the stories and you need to know when to rein it in and making sure that the stories are always pertinent to what you're speaking about and not just the next story that happened to pop into your mind, which is tangentially related to what you're talking about. So that was a learning curve for me. So I'd like to get into, I guess, a bit with you. How do you deliver a compelling message? Can you give us some tips, some really concrete things people can work on?
Yes, absolutely. You know, one of the big struggles that I have encountered, or at least that my clients have encountered, is that they tell me there's so much information, right? They're like, I have 20 minutes or I have a half an hour. I have a brain that's crammed full of information and the audience really just needs to know all of this. And so how do I get everything that I need to tell them into a 20-minute presentation? And so the answer is you don't, right? You can't. So Your first step really is trying to figure out, well, what is the essential message that you're trying to put forth? What is that one thing that you need to get forth so that your audience walks away with a very actionable message, that they understand what it is you're trying to say and why you're saying it? So the first thing that helps me, even when I'm putting together my presentations and that I share with all of my clients, is really to get clear on, number one, who is it that you're speaking to? What are you talking about? And why is it important? So that may sound very, very general right now, but if you could sort of filter that down into one sentence, it comes off as something like, for example, when I'm giving a presentation, I might say, my intention today is to share with all the entrepreneurs in the room how to deliver a structured, focused, engaging speech so that every time you speak, you stand out as a leader. So what I've gotten there is I've identified who it's for, what it is I'm talking about, the structured, engaging speech, and why am I talking about it? So that every time you speak, you stand out as a leader. I very specifically put that sentence together because it helps me narrow it completely down with the greatest focus so that I'm clear on what I need to say. So that when I start building this presentation at any point, I could say, well, is this fitting into my who, what, and why? Am I still, here's, you know, you were talking before about your story that you know, maybe you're going off on tangents, but stories are such an important piece of presentation. So are we going to take a story that is relevant? Or if there's a story you really want to tell, but it doesn't fit into the who, what, and why, then we park it and it comes up in another presentation, because there really is no way to take everything in your brain, dump it into a 20-minute presentation and then unleash that onto an audience without just overwhelming them completely. So it means that you have to be a little bit more choosy, but narrowing down who, what, and why helps you narrow down exactly what content needs to go into your presentation.
Yeah. So I've certainly seen myself, you know, when you were talking about sitting through presentations where you're wondering what's going on. And I've, you know, both in my previous profession attended tons and tons of conferences. And then, of course, since shifting to being a professional speaker, sat through many as well. And I do feel that I myself have a tendency to be the person who overstuffs information and just wants to share every bit of knowledge. But my realization has been that when you do so, people just end up confused. You know, me being on the listener end of things, when I don't know where we're heading and what the exact point is. And like you said, what's that actionable item that I can take away from this? Because at the end of the day, I don't want to just hear neat ideas. I want to know, how could I implement these in my life? I find it makes a huge difference in how effective that person is in delivering their message. So how does somebody get down to that one core idea? I found that to be one of the most challenging things to do. How do you do that?
So there are a couple of steps that I will address before I do that, before I actually start putting together the presentation. And this is part of the core process that I work with, whether I'm creating my own presentation or whether I'm working with a group or a training team, or whether I'm working with one person individually in coaching, is first I get clear on who the audience is, right? Who is this audience? What's their deal, right? What are they struggling with? What's their life like? What are their realities like? What are they challenged by? And so really understand what it is that they are living day to day. And there is a reason why they've come to listen to me speak. Have they been forced because it's work? Are they choosing to come? But I need to understand that as well, right? Why are they going to be sitting through my presentation? So what is the interest, so that I can get a better idea of who they are, what they're dealing with, and why they're coming, or why they are sitting in my audience? And that's why at the beginning here, when I said there are three different types of people that I tend to work with, those are the people who are nervous, the people who are presenting but neutral, and those who are good speakers, but they need to get better. I address that in many of my presentations so that at the beginning, people can also see themselves. I need my audience to be able to see themselves, and that whatever message I'm putting forth will be valuable to them, because I need to engage them. I need them to want to be there, or I need them to see why it's going to be relevant to them. So my first step is really doing as much research into this audience as I can. When I'm hired for a training, I will actually send out surveys. I will do interviews. I will call them or Zoom interview just to get to know them a little bit better, but really to narrow down where in my message I have to start focusing, because I also have, you know, so much it stuffed into my brain. And sometimes I have half an hour or 1 hour or one day, but even if I have one day, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be talking the entire time. I still have to make sure it's really focused. So that's step one, is really getting clear on the audience and their needs, their struggles, their issues, and the purpose of the presentation, right? And then the second piece is then to take what it is that I want to teach and sort of massage it into how they need to hear it. So what I mean by this is that my role as a speaker is to educate the audience. I need to teach them. They need to learn something. They're coming to my presentation to learn something. Right. I need to inspire them, because I want them to feel that whatever it is that I'm sharing or talking about is something that they can buy into and really feel like this is the right message for them. And then ultimately, I want them to do something. So I need to persuade them that, you know, here are the next steps. So whether it's a persuasive presentation or even an informational presentation, those three components always need to be there. Okay. I, as the speaker, am educating, persuading. Educating, inspiring, and persuading, and they need to learn, feel, and do something as a result of the speech. So I need to get clear on all of these pieces before I even sit down and start sketching out, you know, my introduction and my body and my stories and my examples and what cool pictures I'm going to use, because that's like the structure is step two. Step one is everything that has to be done in the background to really get clear on the message that needs to be put forth to this audience.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a very audience-centric process.
It is a very audience-centric process. It is.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, because when you're focusing on what you want to share and what you think is important, it's not rare to miss the mark in terms of what people are actually wanting to learn.
Yeah,
so I love that.
Yeah, and you know what? It's really about marrying what it is that you need to teach them, what you think is important because it's your expertise, but marrying it with how do I need to say it so that they hear it in the right way. Like, how do I say it so they hear it the way I need them to hear it, right? That will make a difference to them. And that's where we miss the mark, because a lot of speakers will, you know, they come with tons of experience and tons of expertise. And they're like, okay, I'm just going to share my expertise with you. Here it is. And they sort of dump it on the audience. And it's, you know, take what's relevant to you, leave behind the rest. You know, it's up to you. I'll just tell you everything. But that's the role of the speaker, is not to dump everything on the audience and let them figure out what's right and what's not. The role of the speaker is to do the homework beforehand, so that when they're in front of the audience can have full trust that everything that's coming out is meant for them in mind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this brings me back to a lot of the work that I do, which, you know, like you said, it's how do you, so for me, it's more on an interpersonal level, one-to-one, in terms of, you know, how a leader is speaking to somebody on their team, or sometimes obviously in team meetings also, but it's like you said, how do you deliver that message in a way that it can be heard. And the way that is done in the work I do is very different from one member of the team to another based on their personality. And so obviously when you're speaking in front of a larger group, like in the work that you coach people to do, they can't necessarily nuance their message based on every single person's reaction, because that feedback loop is more delayed, and B, there's all sorts of people with different personalities sitting there at the same time. So it makes a lot of sense what you're saying to me, is that if you do the research in advance, you already have a better sense of how you need to adapt your message to obviously stay true to your message and the info you want to share, but delivering it in a way that's going to be well received. And I can certainly say that I've sat through talks at times where you can just feel that it's off the mark in terms of the way the message is delivered, and you can feel in the room even the resistance sometimes from people watching. So I think that's such an important step. One thing I'd like to talk about, so you talked about how to get people to take action. And that to me is so key. I think it comes from my clinical background around, you know, in order to affect behavioral change, people need to have the tools necessary to change their behavior. I think we all know that behavioral change absolutely does not happen overnight. It's not just about deciding that we want to do something different in life. So can you give some tips around how can somebody who's speaking to a group, or like you said, even on an individual level, how do you inspire someone to be ready to take that next step and to change one of their behaviors?
You know, it's really about, you have to get buy-in, right? Like, however you are presenting your message, you have to have them listen to it and go, well, okay, this makes sense to me, right? This, like, the ultimate goal I find sometimes is that you could create a message and position the reasoning and the why behind your message so that the audience goes, oh my God, she totally gets what I'm going through, right? It was cool. Right at the beginning of my career, when I used to start giving presentations, it was really very, I'm a public speaking trainer. Here's the training. I have a business where I teach public speaking. And you know, so even when people used to ask me, how did you get into this business? I would say, well, I used to be a little nervous, but then I joined Toastmasters, and then I got this first job, and then I was coaching. And it was all very like, I'm a very official business person, right? And so it was somewhere a few years later that in a one-on-one conversation, I was chatting with someone and they said, no, really, how did you get into this? And I thought all about, like, well, I was so, like, I was a wallflower in school. I was terrified of public speaking. And I went into a whole long sorted story. And they said to me, well, why don't you tell that story in front of your audiences? And I was like, well, because it's not credible. I won't be a credible coach and teacher and trainer, and they won't hire me because they'll see me as like a mere mortal. And I'm not a mere mortal. I teach public speaking. So anyways, but the first time that I decided, and it was within, you know, a quote unquote safe group. It was a networking group that I had been in for several years. And I thought, okay, they asked me to come and speak again. And I thought, okay, now I'm going to try this out. And try it out because I had also, the other reason was because I built an online course and I wanted to sell this online course. So this was the perfect time for me to speak. And I started with a little bit more of the story of how shy I was in high school. I was the wallflower. I always avoided public speaking, how difficult it was for me. And then I went into the talk. And then afterwards, there were so many more people who came up to me and said, you know, that talk, it's that part about how you grew up and stuff. I felt like you were just talking to me. Like that was exactly my experience. That was so much more real. I didn't know this about you, right? And so I judged the success of that based on like the people needed to feel the connection. They needed to know that I got it, right? And so even though that was a little, just a little piece of the beginning of my speech, and then I went into the more, you know, professional speaker stuff, it was very powerful, I found. And I took that into, okay, I'm not just going to use this to talk about myself to make the connection, because again, that's not very audience centric, but I did realize that there was a value in that story for certain audiences only, because not every audience needs to hear that, I think. And not every audience wants to hear that. I judged that audience because I knew them. So when I go into any other audience, I have to judge which stories then are going to connect with them. What do I need to say to have them think that I really understand where they're coming from? And for me, that's why I will send out surveys. I will ask tons of questions. I will do interviews before I even get into anywhere near the actual day of the presentation, so that I could build up that information. And when I stand in front of the audience, they are assured right from the beginning that I know what they're dealing with, who they are. So number one is when they get the survey, even though not everybody fills it out, but when they get the survey, they know that I'm interested. Mm-hmm. And I am interested. It's not just like a tool of I'm going to send the survey and ignore everything. Like I really then look very deeply at the responses. And then I get a few one-on-one interviews. And then when I get in front of that audience, I reference things that are relevant to them that have made it into the survey and made it into the conversation, so that right from the start, they have the trust that I have looked into their lives, right? And so that helps me create the connection. And then with the connection, you build the trust that allows me to inspire them more, and that has a greater chance that they will end up doing what I want them to do, change the behaviors so that they get better results, right? So because everybody's coming to the presentation hoping for a change in their lives, but we're not always clear what change we need. And sometimes it's, you know, sometimes we get overwhelmed because we think it's this giant change. Oh, I mean, they're bringing in a presentations trainer and specialist to teach us to be better at presentations. Well, I can't create miracles in an hour, but sometimes they will come out of a presentation that I give, or whether it's a full day or a 1 hour, but they'll come out with a few tools that will make a huge difference. Just a few small tweaks, shifting a mindset in a certain way, using a different tool or trying something different that will really make a difference in front of their audience. And that's where I find that they also need to be assured that I'm not there to change their personality and make them do things that they don't want to do. It's to help them be a better version of themselves. And I think that's something that most people really do want. They really are open to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm hearing you say that, you know, it's one of the important things is meeting people where they are, mm-hmm. so that we're ensuring that we're supporting them on the things they want to be supported on, and in not forcing our perspective down their throat, which I think is really key. And then the other thing that I was thinking of was that, you know, what I heard from you was it made me think back to Donald Miller's work. I'm a big fan of his, and he talks about how, you know, we need to show both authority and empathy, mm-hmm. and he doesn't speak to it necessarily really in terms of building trust, but I think that is what it does, right? Is that when people see the authority, they know you have the skill set, the knowledge, and then they see the empathy of, okay, I'm not going to be judged. I'm not going to, I'm understood and all that. When you combine the two, that is very, very powerful, I find. And I like what you're saying about how you're gathering information through. So just to recap, you're saying you're sending a survey, you're doing one-on-one interviews with a few people so that you have really specific examples that you can use. I think that really helps to build that empathy and sense of understanding. So I think those are some really great tips for everyone listening. I'd like to circle back a bit now. So you were talking about how, when you were younger, you were so nervous to be speaking. And that's one of the subgroups of people you've identified here. So for somebody who is terrified, this is an overused piece of information, but people talk often about how public speaking is one of the biggest fears of life, the second biggest next to death, I think, if I'm not misquoting that.
That's a sad statistic, yeah.
And ironic to someone like me who I think was born just chattering nonstop. But there's lots of other things that make me afraid. So a friend and I were talking one day, this is a tangent, but a friend and I were talking one day about how she was making all sorts of craft flowers for a wedding. And I said to her, oh my goodness, that sounds like a horrific task to have to be doing. And she said to me, are you kidding me? You like to get on stages. What are you talking about? Making flowers is awful. So for me, the thing that is scary is making craft flowers. And
I had that exact same conversation with a bookkeeper years ago when she, the first time I met her, and she said, you know what, you can just give me all your receipts, just dump them in a box and I'll go through them. And I was like, but really? Like, wouldn't you want me to organize them before? She's like, no, I love going through receipts and figuring out like what goes where and putting together the puzzle. And I looked at her, I'm like, I did not know that humans like you existed. I did not know that this was ever a thing like this. It blew my mind. So
I'm sharing your surprise. Yeah. So that being said, I know there is a big proportion of people who are quite terrified of having to get in front of a group. So do you have some tips for those people in terms of what are some of the first steps to get acclimated and comfortable really in front of a group? Because it's a big step when you're really uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think part of, when I first started teaching, and I would address the confidence issue right away with most of my groups, and I would go into the basics, right? You got to practice more. You got to prepare very well. You got to have your backup plan in case your technology fails. You got to show up early. You got to breathe, with power posing, get the energies out and that kind of thing. And that's all right. That's all still accurate. But then what I found was that that's sort of a band-aid solution, right? So then what I mean by that is that very often people are nervous about saying or getting up and speaking simply because they're not clear on what it is they want to say. So whether they're winging it or whether they're, just sometimes they're even writing out the entire speech, but it's what they think is important, right? There's nothing about the audience in this speech. So basically you're going up saying, okay, well, this is what I think is important. I hope it lands on the audience. I hope they like it. I hope this is the right thing. And that I think is what creates not all the nerves, because certainly you're going to be nervous when you're the center of attention, standing in front of a lot of people and speaking up. But it also contributes to the nerves when you're not clear on what you're saying. And even when you're writing down what you're saying, but it's not structured, it's not focused, it's not customized to that audience. When you haven't done the work before to really think about what is it that I want to educate this audience of, what do I want them to feel and what do I want them to do? You're coming up and just hoping for the best. Right? You hope that this is going to be good. I'm just going to get up there. I'm going to say what I need to say, and I'm going to get off. Like I'm out. Right. And that when we approach the presentation with that as our core focus, then that's just not a recipe for feeling good about the presentation. So we're not going to feel good about the content that we're sharing, but we're also not going to feel good because now we're standing in front of the audience and everyone's looking at us and how am I moving and is my voice okay and I feel so weird and that guy's yawning and what does that mean? And, you know, all that, the chatter that goes on in your brain as you're trying to get comfortable in yourself, right? So, so for me, when, and it's funny because just yesterday I had a call with someone who gives presentations a lot. She said she's, I don't know, mid into her career and very successful. And she said somewhere along the way, I just started getting super anxious about my presentations. She said, I've taught in universities. I've given presentations for the last 20 years. Something just happened. I don't even know what it is. But now I'm nervous about speaking on the spot. I'm nervous about impromptu. And I freeze up. And she's like, I don't know why. And so knowing in that kind of person that the ability is there. The ability is there for all of us, because I think at the heart of it, we all have expertise to share. We all have expertise. We want people to listen to us, but we're not sure how to get there and create the messages that people also want to hear from us. So for me, it's about taking a step back first. It's, you know, we acknowledge, yes, you have anxiety. Yes, the nerves are there. It's real. Like, I don't discount any of that because I've been there. I've felt it. And sometimes I still get really, really nervous before an important presentation. So I get it. But then it's about shifting your mindset a little bit, shifting it away from how do I feel? You know, what am I worried about? What are they going to think of me and me, me, me? And shifting it over to the audience. So what do they need to hear? What value do I want them to get out of this? What do I want them to say after this is done? And really just shift it and keep asking, instead of focusing on you and your feelings, to focus on the audience, so that at least you could get out of this super adrenaline charged, emotionally charged feeling of nervousness and start thinking with a clear head. And that's at least the first step of what that lets you do, is get out of your head where you're convincing yourself that you're just too nervous for this, and think about something else. Think about the audience, this message to that audience, and then how do you build the message in a way that the audience needs to hear? Because then when we can come back and deliver a message that is clearer in structure, that is more relevant to the audience, that is structured, but it's also got the stories, the information, the learnings, the entertaining pieces. And by entertaining, I mean, you know, stories, anecdotes, cool visuals or videos or whatever you're putting in. That's when it becomes easier. Okay. And I think part of this is also, you need to sort of have your head sort of look forward a little bit and go, how am I going to feel when it's done? Let's say we get through this and what's it going to look like on the other side after you're done and you have had this opportunity to share your expertise, to share this knowledge, and the audience likes it? Like, what is that going to be like? And how are you going to feel if you gave up that opportunity simply because you just don't want to deal with the nerves? Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to have these regrets, like, you know, and it doesn't mean that everybody's going to be an amazing speaker or everyone's going to be a great success or that mistakes won't happen and screw ups won't happen. But to hold yourself back from it, I think I'm not going to go with like some extreme word like tragedy, but it's a real missed opportunity. That's a real missed opportunity. And you never know where things can go. And I was on that track to be that person who didn't speak because I didn't like it. I didn't want it. I had no desire to do any public speaking. And it was just, you know, just opportunities came that I just said, okay, what if, okay, I'll try. And until the one day that I said, oh, wait a minute, what just happened? This is what I want to be doing. Right. But it also came from just wanting to, knowing where I came from and how difficult it was to work and live and be in school, but always be that nervousness, that nervous. It helped me relate to people and what they were going through also. Because even those individuals who speak a lot and they're out there in front of audiences and they are very experienced seasoned speakers, they still feel the nerves. And that was one of the things that blew my mind the most right at the beginning, is how these amazing, they were amazing on stages. They were amazing in front of rooms. And when you just sat and talked to them one-on-one, they were like, oh, you don't know what was going on, like behind the scenes, right? Like I was freaking out, can't sleep, can't eat, can't, thought I was going to throw up, but you'd never know. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's, yeah.
Yeah. I think that growth mindset piece that you're alluding to here of, you know, knowing that we all start from somewhere. And frankly, I don't know if that many people are born amazing superstar public speakers from the go, even the people who, you know, I think, so myself, that's something I was more comfortable with early in my career. I searched out opportunities. Now I'm talking small opportunities here, of course. But that was fun. That was invigorating for me, but it doesn't mean I was born being amazing at it just because I enjoyed it. And so I think, you know, knowing that we all go through this growth process and, you know, understanding that with, you know, support from somebody like you, we can all grow to be able to give presentations that are more compelling, that are able to change people's minds, and that, like you said, really have people, you know, perceiving you as a leader because of how well you're able to convey your message. For me, that's a key piece of, you know, being able to be willing to put yourself in these uncomfortable situations. Because let's face it, it can be uncomfortable, especially when you're up there and you see. So I remember one presentation I gave to a very resistant crowd, very small group, but very resistant. You could cut the tension in the room with a knife. And, you know, the person, my colleague I was with, was shooting me glances, you know, sort of almost to say to me, can you sense that? And I could sense it, but I, you know, you just got to keep going. And it can be very awkward, not to scare off all those people that we just talked about. Try this. This is maybe not a good way to end. But all that to say, despite those awkward moments, you know, I came out of that talk sweaty and uncomfortable and feeling like I had affected no change. And the reality is, I'm not even sure that I affected no change when I was able to take some distance and get some feedback. But all that to say, when we can, you know, manage the emotions that come up when we're faced with these really uncomfortable situations, I do think it can open an awful lot of doors. Susanna, can you just let everyone know, if they're interested in reaching out to you, where's the best place to connect with you?
Oh, well, you can head over to my website at susannabaum.com. That's SusannahBaum.com. You'll see on my website, I've got a few products there too. And one of them called Rock Your Speech. And that was one that I created last year because there were so many people who were coming to me with this issue of nerves. And they were like, I don't know. It's just a generic, I'm nervous, I don't know what to do. And for so many years, people would come to me with that issue. And I would say, well, listen, until you have like a real presentation, like that's where we'll get into coaching. And then I would suggest they go to Toastmasters. Like, wait a minute.
Sending away all your clients.
Them do this. So it's just a small like mini masterclass, because the other course that I have is how to create a signature speech, which is really all about the structure. How do you build that structure? And because that was created many years ago, then there was like a that hole for all those individuals who were like, but I'm too nervous to even talk about a speech. So anyways, on this, but aside from the products, on my website, I've got a bunch of videos, just 2 to 3 minute videos that are filled with a lot of tips on how to prepare for your presentation, what to keep in mind, all the little things and the big things that are easy watching. That may just help you the next time you're creating a presentation. Can I bring up one other thing, Lindsay?
Absolutely.
Because you brought this up at the beginning, and then I thought, oh, I really want to talk about this.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
It is.
You had said that you were giving a presentation once, and then all of the feedback was great, except for one person who said too much blah, blah, blah. So this is the other thing that I want us to leave with, is that people will give you feedback on your presentation, and feedback is good, but you don't have to listen to all of it, right? Mm-hmm. Because where you said you got all this great feedback, but there was that one person You said too much blah blah, and then you were like, "They're right, too much."
Totally. That one
person, and I've done the. I'm not even picking on you. I've done the.
No, that's okay. It's the reality.
Yeah, that one person. And okay, well, obviously, I have to change everything because that person thought that I spoke too much, right? So feedback is like a critical part of becoming a better speaker. But number one is helping people give you the right feedback. Is helpful. So if you're going to give a presentation, let's say at work, and you have a closer colleague, you could say, can you watch if I'm, you know, does it make sense? Is it clear? Am I fidgeting? Am I pacing? So that they know what to look for, because people are not that great at giving feedback until you can help them, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the feedback may just be like, hey, how was my talk? Oh, yeah, it was good. Right? Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, right. So that doesn't help you either. So, but also just critical is that there will be those people who say, who don't love what you're saying. You were talking about your hostile audience at the end too. People may not resonate with them. You may work all you can to create the most relevant message. And there's going to be one or two people who don't, they're like, nah, I don't like what she has to say. I don't like her stories. I don't like what she's doing. And they'll write it in the feedback, and it may crush you for a little bit. Again, I see that feedback. I could see like 99. It was so great. Learned so much. And that one person that goes, meh, right? It's meh. That's like, oh, come on. I worked so hard. Why? Right. So it's to approach the feedback with, the big picture in it too. Yeah. That don't forget to look at all the other people who tell you that it's good. And if someone gives you specific feedback of what you really look like, then that is really helpful. And if you can guide someone to give you better feedback, that will help you even better than that.
Yeah. I love what you're sharing, because I've also had to go on that journey of learning what feedback sits with me and represents who I am and where I want to improve, and what of it is things that you know may work for that person's personality style but don't for mine. Because I think that when we step too far outside of ourselves, we start to be inauthentic, and I think you can feel that in the way people deliver their messages. So I think that's such a key piece to share, and I think that fixating on that one little piece of feedback can really draw people away from being willing to put themselves in front of a group. So I think that's great info. And of course, if you're looking for really specific feedback, Susanna is a great person to reach out to.
Thank you. Yeah. So I work with groups. Like I get hired by companies to do group trainings. I work with individuals one-on-one who just need to nail that next presentation or feel better or those series of presentations. And on my website, again, there's a ton of resources, just videos and articles and things that just peruse through to figure out what issue you're dealing with and where and how that can be solved.
Perfect. So we'll put some links to Susanna's website in the show notes for anyone who wants to check that out. For everyone listening, thank you for once again taking time out of your schedule to listen to the Workplace Communication Podcast and to learn more about how to develop and deliver a compelling presentation. Of course, if you're looking to support the leaders in your organization in refining the leadership communication skills needed to elevate team performance, please give me a call or send me a message. My contact info is also in the show notes. So thanks again, everyone, for listening. It's Lindsay Lapaquette and Susanna Baum signing off for now. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Workplace Communication Podcast with Lindsay Lapaquette. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share and also leave a rating and review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening. If your organization is looking to invest in elevating team performance by refining leadership communication skills, you can find more information about Lindsay's coaching, speaking, and consulting by visiting lindsaylapaquette.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.